That's right. You never know. Okay. So there's an idea that I've shared in the past in the context of Purim. And it's an idea that comes from the Kotzker Rebbe. And it's a question a Jew has to think about when we prepare for any Yom Tov. Of course, we're getting closer and closer to Hanukkah. And the question is, where does a Jew look to find the essence of a Yom Tov? We want to connect to a Yom Tov. There's so many Svarim on Hanukkah, so many Svarim on every Yom Tov. But how does a Jew look to discover, in a certain sense, the essence of what the Yom Tov is all about? So the Shem Yishmuel, who was the Sakachavar Rebbe, the grandson of the Kotzker, Shem Yishmuel's father was the Avnei Nezer was the son-in-law of the Kotzker Rebbe. He quotes in Parshas Netzavim, in the first source, an amazing idea from his grandfather. He says, Chazal, we know, established a Masechta for each Yom Tov. So if I want to learn about Purim, I learn Maseches Megillah. If I want to learn about Yom Kippur, I learn Maseches Yoma. If I want to learn about Pesach, I learn Psachim. If I want to learn about Sukkot, I learn Sukkah. Because my grandfather, the Kotzker Rebbe, used to explain, if you want to tap into the spiritual light of any given holiday, you have to put some time into studying the holiday, specifically through the Masechta that corresponds to that holiday. If I want to absorb the light of the holiday, that it should be etched into the tablets of my heart, I need to make sure that my heart is worked upon and refined, so that my heart and my soul can be able to receive the light, the illumination, the inner light of that particular holiday. And when you study the Masechta that corresponds to that holiday, that's how a Jew taps into the essence of the holiday. The Vilna Gaon and Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin have another rule that I want to join to this rule. And that is, if you want to understand the essence of any concept, you try to identify the first time it appears in Torah. So if I want to understand what a particular word means, I have to find that word for the first time in the Torah. If I want to understand what a particular letter means, where does the letter first appear in the Torah? Where's the first time we see the letter Samach in the Torah? Where's the first time you see the letter Resh in the Torah? And the Vilna Gaon of Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin say, that introduces us to the essence of that idea. So therefore, if you put these two ideas together, in theory, if you want to understand the real root of any Yom Tov, you need to look at the first introduction to that idea as it appears in the Masechta of that Yom Tov. So it developed once in the past an idea, you learn the first Mishnah, Maseches Megillah, you tap into the essence of the entire Yom Tov of Purim. And the same thing could be developed for each of the Yom Tovim. So therefore, if we want to unlock the Yom Tov of Chanukah, we should probably look at Maseches Chanukah. Or maybe Megillas Chanukah. Of course, the problem is, while we have a Megillas Esther and we have a Maseches Megillah, we don't have a Maseches Chanukah, and we don't have a Megillas Chanukah. Maybe we should look at Sefer HaMakabin, Megillas Antiochus, which is dated somewhere between the 2nd and 5th century, which the Rishonim held in high esteem, but it's not Chazal. We don't have a Masechta on Chanukah, and we don't have a book in Tanakh on Chanukah. So the question is, so then what do we do? What are we supposed to do? Again, you can look at these sources. Megillas Antiochus in Italian shuls in the Middle Ages, they used to read Megillas Antiochus in shul, like we read Megillas Esther. But it's not Tanakh. It's not necessarily written with Ruach HaKodesh. So I was thinking, so how do we figure out Chanukah? So you can look in the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos where it talks about Chanukah, but then you're kind of picking up in the middle of Maseches Shabbos in the second parak. So I thought maybe we could have a different mahalach. Maybe we should look in the Shulchan Aruch. Maybe we should find in the Shulchan Aruch the first halacha about Chanukah, and maybe that will help us understand the essence of the Yom Tov of Chanukah. And to make the point strong, to remind ourselves that Al Pi Pnimiyas HaTorah, according to the great Tzaddikim, and the Svarim HaKadoshim, we believe, on a certain level, that the Shulchan Aruch was written in its time and is able to be analyzed as if it was written with Ruach HaKodesh, because it was written with Ruach HaKodesh. Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin writes an amazing thing. He writes in source number 2, Benirali disimana milsahu. Rav Tzadok says, I am so convinced Shulchan Aruch was written with a degree of Ruach HaKodesh that even the chapter that a particular halal is out in, there's a reason for it. You find Hilchos Shofar in the Shulchan Aruch in chapter 586, Gematria Shofar. That's where you find Hilchos Shofar. Right? So it says Rav Tzadok, Simanim Milso. Even the Simanim, even the chapter numbers are significant. Mashenes dam in the Bali Ator of a Shulchan Aruch lichtov mitzvah zu besimin ayin reish. He's talking about a particular mitzvah. He's explaining why he believes a particular mitzvah fell out in the particular chapter. V'kvar heyer betumin bekitzer takfu kohen al Shulchan Aruch demeacher sheneskabo b'chol Yisrael. That if a book, if one book could be accepted by the entire Jewish people, who we occasionally have machloksim, you know, we don't always get. But if the Shulchan Aruch could be the accepted work of Jewish law, if the Jewish people could somehow rally around that, it must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I want Klal Yisrael to live by the Shulchan Aruch. In other words, it must be that if there's a certain protection, a certain Ruach HaKodesh that govern the creation and the spreading of the Shulchan Aruch. Vadai Ruach Hashem Diber Bo. Certainly Rav Yosef Cairo had a degree of deep understanding in the Torah, who originally arranged the order. Vakol B'Ksav Miyad Hashem Alav His Skill. It's a pasuk in the Navi. Af Mashahu Lo Kiven Klal Lezeh. And even things that the author himself didn't understand what he was writing, we have a right to look at it and respect it like a work of Ruach HaKodesh. So therefore you open up Hilchos Chanukah to chapter 670, which the tzaddikim of our times tell us is the same gematria as Vitzivanu Lahadlik Ner Chanukah, chapter 670. There's a reason that's where Hilchos Chanukah begins. And you want to take a look, you want to say, what is the first halacha in the Shulchan Aruch with regard to the laws of Chanukah? And as you're about to look, something on the side of the page catches your eye. The Magen Avraham, in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham, written in the 1600s in Poland, the Magen Avraham says, before you learn the first halacha, there's a little hakadam I have to just give you. And this is really the root of Chanukah. The Magen Avraham's hakadam, before you get to the first halacha of the Shulchan Aruch, here's the foundation. This is the yesod. It's a short little comment, written by the Holy Magen Avraham, Rav Avram Gumbiner in the 1600s, in source number 3. And here's what he says, and we're going to build the whole shiur tonight around this couple of words in the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham writes in Simin Tov Reish Ayin, the very introduction to Hilchos Chanukah, Noagin hane'orim ha'aniyim l'saveh b'chanukah ala psachim. It's a minog that young, poor individuals go around door to door on Chanukah collecting tzedakah. That's the introduction to Hilchos Chanukah, and he says, look in the Sefer Chanukah Sabayis for an explanation of this. This is the introduction. This is the Hakdama to Hilchos Chanukah, that poor children go around collecting tzedakah on Chanukah. They go to the Pesach Habayis, the same spot where you light the menorah. It's interesting. One of the Talmidim of the Rapshitzer, a great tzaddik, Rav Shalom Kamenker, in the early 1800s, he said the following remez. He said, the Gemara tells us in Bava Basra that tzedakah has the ability to be mekareves es hagu'ula. Tzedakah brings Mashiach. So the Gemara says, Bava Basra daf yod. What did the Magen Avraham tell us? The young, poor people go door to door collecting money on Chanukah. So Rosh Hashanah Kamenker said, where do you light your menorah and where do you have your mezuzah? The Gemara has a whole discussion. Should the menorah be on the same side as the mezuzah? Should it be on the opposite side as the mezuzah? The Gemara concludes, mezuzah is on the sad yamin, and the Chanukah menorah, the Ner Chanukah, is on the sad small. So the Svarim say, mezuzah yamin, Chanukah small, are the letters Mashiach. Mezuzah starts with a mem, yamin is a yud, Chanukah is a ches, small is a shin, Mashiach. But the problem is they're on opposite sides of the doorway. So how do you bring the letters together? So Rav Shalom Kamenker said, "Gedol l'tzedakah shemekareves es hagu'ula." When the ani comes to the door, the hakdama til chaschanukah, and he says, "Can I have a little tzedakah?" And you give tzedakah standing in that doorway between the mezuzah on your right and the menorah on your left. So you're mekareves those letters to spell Mashiach. It's a deep idea. This is the Pesach til chaschanukah. Mamish taking place at the Pesach Habayis. Standing at the doorway, giving out tzedakah. But the question is, what does tzedakah have to do? Why is tzedakah the foundation of Hilchos Chanukah? That's really the question we're asking tonight. If we're assuming that we're not sure where to look. We want to follow the Kotzker Rebbe's rule. We want to look at Maseches Chanukah. We don't have Maseches Chanukah. We don't have Megillas Chanukah. No Torah Shebichsav, no Torah Shebaalpeh. We open up a Shulchan Aruch because we believe that it's written with Ruach HaKodesh. That's why Klal Yisrael follow it. And yet we can't get started until we get past this Magen Avram, who's blocking, so to speak, the Pesach, by telling us you got to give tzedakah at the Pesach Habayis. The Na'arim, the children, dafka the children go around. Reminds us of the Pasuk about Na'arim. Chanoch lena'ar alpidarko. Chanukah, chinoch, na'ar. What's going on here? There's something going on here. So let's ask a question about tzedakah in general. Did you ever consider the possibility that maybe tzedakah is a heretical mitzvah? Maybe it's a rebellion against God to give tzedakah. Meaning, think of it like this. And this was the question that Turnus Rufus HaRasha asked Rabbi Akiva in the Gemara in Bava Basra in source number 4. Turnus Rufus HaRasha asked Rabbi Akiva the following question. Does God love Jews? Rabbi Akiva says, of course God loves Jews. V'zo she'ein l'shal Turnus Rufus HaRasha Rabbi Akiva. If God talks in the Torah about his love of people who are struggling, people who are going through difficulties, and Hashem tells us, make sure you take care of people who are struggling, who are suffering, who are poor, who are impoverished, who are pursued. Well, if God loves people who are struggling so much, why doesn't God help them? Maybe God could give them a living. Rabbi Akiva says, because God wants us to be able to accrue merit by helping them. So Hashem gave us the job of helping people who are struggling. Amr Lei, Turnus Rufus HaRasha said, just the opposite. Adraba. Zo shemechayavtan l'gehenim. That should send you straight to Gehenim. And he gives the following mashal. Em shalacha mashal. L'ma davar domeh. What is it comparable to? L'melech basar v'dam shekos al avdo. Imagine a king got angry at one of his servants. V'chav shum v'beis ha'asur and he threw him into jail. V'tziv alav shalo l'achil v'lo l'ashko. So don't provide for this. Don't provide for this sinner. This rebellious servant of mine. Don't give him food. Don't give him drink. And imagine someone goes behind the king's back and is smuggling food and drink to this servant of the king who's sitting in a jail cell. Kishashoma ha-melech lo kawes alav. Wouldn't the king get angry? You went behind the king's back? So therefore, if a Jew is poor, and it says about the Jewish people in the Torah, Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim. So if the Eved is suffering, maybe you're going behind God's back by giving him tzedakah. Maybe you're rebelling against Hashem by giving tzedakah. So Rabbi Akiva says, you got it all wrong. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, where it's bolded, I'll give you a mashal. Em sholecha mashal. Lema ha-davar doma. You know what it's really like? Imagine not one of the king's servants was thrown into jail. Imagine the king's son was thrown into jail. Imagine the king needed to teach the prince a lesson and put the prince in jail. Lemelech basar v'dam shekos al bino. Imagine a king who got angry at his son. V'chav shu abeis ha'asurin. And now you went behind the king's back and you provided the prince with food and drink. Would the king be angry at you then? The king doesn't want his son to die in jail. He's trying to teach him a lesson. That even the prince has to be held accountable sometimes for his behavior. But in a certain sense, the king wants nothing more than what? That his child should be provided for through hidden channels. And says Rabbi Akiva, we're not just called avadim, we're not just called servants of Hashem, we're called banim atem l'Hashem alokeichem. And therefore, what do we learn from this Gemara? Says Rabbi Shlomo Fisher, one of the great Bali Machshava in Eretz Yisrael today, a great Talmud Chacham, he writes in a Sefer Drashos Beis Yishai, what do you see from this? You see that the heter to give tzedakah, why is giving tzedakah not a rebellion against Hashem? If we're just servants of Hashem, then you shouldn't give tzedakah. Let the person rot in jail. But because we're children of Hashem, dafka, because we are the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's that notion that we are the children of Hashem that allows us to give tzedakah to one another. That is the heter, so to speak, to give tzedakah. And now we turn to Chanukah, and all of a sudden we start to see that on Chanukah, this inyan of knowing that we're the children of Hashem seems to be something that the Avanim and the Jewish people are struggling with. Says Rav Shlomo Fisher, if you look in the Nusach of the Tefillah, Bimei Matisyahu, Ben Yochanan, interesting, we highlight that he's the child of someone. We don't do that on Purim. We don't say Bimei Mordechai Ben. We know who Mordechai's father is. We have it in the Megillah. We don't say Mordechai's father. Why over here? Bimei Matisyahu Ben Yochanan. And what did the Yavanim try to do in source number 5? Kishe Omdo Malchus Yavan HaRishol HaAmcha Yisrael. The Yevanim came to say and to fight against what? The nation of Israel. They wanted us to look at ourselves as just a nation like any other nation. But of course, when we won the battle, says Rav Shlomo Fischer, what does it say at the end of the tefillah? V'achar kein ba'u banecha. But your children came and fought back. Because even though the Yevanim tried to label us as just an Am, a nation, we reminded ourselves that banim atam la'Hashem Elokeichem, that we in fact are the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we see that somehow tzedakah is connected to this concept of banim atam la'Hashem Elokeichem, and on Chanukah somehow we're fighting to prove, as it were, to the Yevanim, that we are in fact the children of Hashem. But we have to go more deeply. So now we come to this week's Parsha. And if we discover an amazing secret in this week's Parsha, it'll unlock the whole sugya for us, and it'll give us the essential feeling that a Jew has to have on the Yom Tov of Chanukah. Haba aleinu letova. What does it mean to live with the times? It means to try to discover whatever's happening in the calendar, to whatever's happening in our lives, to try to find it in the Parsha. So let's see if we can find it in this week's Parsha. How does our Parsha begin? Source number 6. Vayishlach Yaakov malachim lefanav el Esav achiv. Arza se'ir sedei adam. Yaakov sends malachim, Rashi says, they're actual angels, not just messengers. Vayitzavu sam lemor. Ko somrun la'aduni le'esav ko amar avdecha Yaakov. Send a message to brother Esav, who I haven't seen in more than 30 years. Im lavan garti ve'echarata. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm running a little late the last 30 plus years. I got stuck in Lavan's house for a while. Vayihi li shor v'chamor, and I'm very successful. And the malachim come back and they say, you should just know Esav is on his way towards you. And he has 400 men. And he looks like he's ready to fight. And Yaakov gets frightened. Pasuk Ches, where it's bolded. Vayira Yaakov ma'od, Yaakov becomes very afraid. Vayetzar lo. And he's anxious. He's nervous. Vayachat es ha'am asher yito v'sason v'sabakar v'gamalim l'shnei machanos. And Yaakov decides to divide his animals, to divide his camp, to divide everything up into two camps with the svara that if Esav comes and attacks one area, so the other area will run away. So I'm willing to accept, you know, half of my family and half of my possessions being destroyed. What does it mean, vayira Yaakov ma'od vayetzer lo? Yaakov was afraid and he was worried. He was anxious and he was troubled. What was bothering Yaakov? So first, derech agav, you need to see this das kenim of the Baal Yetosos. The Das Zaken of the Baal Yetosof has such a powerful insight. They write in source number 7, Vayira Yaakov Od. Yaakov was afraid of Esav. Vayetzer lo means what? And it bothered him. What bothered him? Say the Baal Yetosof. Meitzer haya, al shahaya yare me Esav. It bothered him that he was scared of Esav. You know why that bothered him? La'achar shevticho HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Hashem said, I'm going to take care of you. If Hashem promised things are going to work out okay, right? So why are you bothered? Yaakov was upset at himself. Where's my emunah? Where's my bitachon? Why am I bothered by Esav? I don't care if he comes with 1,000 people or 10,000 people. If Hashem guarantees that I'm going to be successful against brother Esav, then I don't have to worry. So when Yaakov looks at himself and he sees Vayira Yaakov that he's afraid, Vayetzalo, it bothered him. He should have been stronger knowing that Hashem had given him a promise. That's the pshat of the Das Zakenim of the Baal Yetosos, an important lesson for us. When Hashem gives us a guarantee that Mashiach is going to come, so as crazy as the world gets, you got to be able to breathe through it. It's going to be okay. How it's going to work out, I have no idea. But if Hashem has given us certain guarantees through the Torah, through the Nevi'im, we have to live with that. It's an important lesson, Derech Agav. But Rashi has a different shot. What was Yaakov nervous about? What was bothering him? Vayira Vayetzar, this double lashon of being anxious and afraid, says Rashi in source number 8, Vayira Shema Yehareg. Yaakov was afraid that maybe he will be killed by Esav and his armies. Vayetzar lo, but he was also nervous, im yaharog hu asacher. He was worried he might have to become a killer as well. He's going to have to fight for his life. Yaakov, the Ish Tam, who sits and learns Torah, the Ish Emes. Yaakov doesn't want to have to fight, but he's ready to. If he has to, he's ready to fight. So he's Vayira, he's afraid to be killed. Vayetzar lo, he's afraid he might have to kill others. There's a very, very deep secret that's hidden in this Rashi that the Sifrei Chassidus revealed to us. It's found in a variety of svarim. When Moshe Rabbeinu goes out to fight against that Mitzri who's beating that Jew, and Moshe Rabbeinu also has to stand up. Sometimes a Jew who's a very, you know, humble and holy person has to take a stand in defense of Jews who are suffering and being beaten. Vayihi b'yamim ahem, source tells us in source number 9 in Parak Beis of Shemos, it was during those great days. Vayigdal Moshe, vayitze alachav. Moshe goes out to his brothers. Vayar besivlosam, and he sees that they're suffering. Vayar ish mitzri make ish ivri meachav, and he sees a Jew being beaten by an Egyptian. Vayifen kovacho, and Moshe looks this way, and that to make sure the coast is clear. Vayar ki ein ish, he sees that no one's in sight. Vayochas amitzri v'yatmenayu bacho, and he strikes down the mitzri and he buries him in the sand. But Rashi says Moshe wasn't just looking over his shoulder to make sure he doesn't get in trouble. Moshe was a Baal Ruach HaKodesh. Vayar ki ein ish, explains Rashi in source number 10, Vayar ki ein ish osid latseis mimenu shiyizgar. Moshe says, before I kill this mitzri, I need to just make sure that nothing good is ever going to come from this mitzri. That there are no future descendants from this Egyptian who might one day want to convert to become a Jew. So he looks this way and that. Vayifen kovacho. He looks this way and that. He looks into the future. He looks into his past. He sees, this mitzri is a lowlife. He's a bully. He's a thug. He's hurting an innocent Jew. And Moshe decides there's no reason to spare this mitzri, and he kills him. So what do you see from this amazing Rashi? You see that tzaddikim are concerned before they take someone's life, even if it's justified. They're scared. They want to make sure that nothing holy is lost in that. Moshe looks into the future, he sees nothing great is going to come from this mitzri, he decides to mitzri. But Yaakov Avinu didn't want to kill Esav. What did Rashi tell us? He was scared to kill Esav because Shema Yaharachem, I don't want to kill others. Who are these others that he's worried about killing? It's Esav and his men, but it's much deeper than that. Yaakov Avinu also looked in the future. And Yaakov saw that there's someone who's going to come from Esav, that if God forbid Esav dies in this battle, this Jew who will come from Esav will be lost forever. And it's not just any Jew. Elagatana, a Tana who we'll see tonight, helps us to understand the very essence of our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and helps us to understand the very essence of the Yom Tov of Chanukah, an amazing and holy Tana by the name of Rabbi Meir. Says the Imre Noam, the Jukav Rebbe, in source number 11, V'isa b'svar. Ki yiras Yaakov haisa ki yotza nishmas Rabbi Meir min Niron Kesar. In case you never knew this, I'll let you in on a big secret. Rabbi Meir, the holy Tana, Rabbi Meir, the student of Rabbi Akiva, the contemporary of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, was someone who was a descendant of Esav HaRasha. The Gemara says in Gittin that Niron Kesar had certain descendants who became Jewish, and amongst them was Rabbi Meir. So Yaakov Avinu looks at Esav in front of him, who's trying to fight him, and he knows he might have to fight him back, but he's terrified. If I kill Esav, then I lose Rabbi Meir. God forbid we would lose Rabbi Meir. And this precious soul of Rabbi Meir, this holy Tana, who's going to teach us one of the most fundamental lessons of Jewish thought tonight, was living, so to speak, that spark of Rabbi Meir was living within the world of Esav. So he was terrified. Yaakov says, I don't want to kill Rabbi Meir. And it's hinted to in the very words of Rashi. V'ramaznu b'makom acher ki amru chazal man acherim Rebbe Meir. Who is known as acherim? Rebbe Meir. Let me tell you this story. It's a strange story. It's hard to believe this type of story. It's a very human story, but we expect more from our tzaddikim, so I don't know how to really understand the story, but here's the story. It's a Gemara in Horios Daf Yud Gimel. The Gemara says that Rishum ben Gamliel was the Nasi, Rebbe Meir was the Chacham, and Rabbi Nassan was the Skan, the deputy Nasi. And it used to be that when any of them would walk into the Beis Medrash, whether it was Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, or Rabbi Meir, or Rabbi Nassan, they were all great tzaddikim, great talmidei chachamim, people would stand up. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, I'm the Nasi, I don't like it, why should they stand up for these other two rabbis just like they stand up for me? I have to distinguish myself from the pack. So Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel made a rule that a Nasi is higher than a chacham, and a Nasi is higher than a Skan Nasi. Is higher than the deputy Nasi. Happens to be Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Nassan weren't in the Beis Medrash the day that this happened. They came back the next day, they walk into the Beis Medrash, and for the first time in their life, no one stands up for them. So they ask, what's going on here? They said, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel made new rules. We only stand for Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel in the Beis Medrash now. And Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Nassan were not happy. So they decided they're going to prove to the Beis Medrash that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is not such a big shot. We're going to try to catch Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel on some Torah that he doesn't know. And they knew that he wasn't well-versed in Maseches Uksin. So they said, you know what we'll do? We're experts in Uksin. He doesn't know Uksin. we'll ask him to give shir on Mesechta Zuxin. And then the Velt will find out that he's not such a big Talmud Chacham. Seems very unbecoming for a great tzaddikim to act this way, but okay, that's what happened. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yaakov ben Karshi overheard this conversation of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Nassim. And he was afraid Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is going to be publicly disgraced. The Nasi is going to be disgraced in this way. I'm not having it. So Rabbi Yaakov ben Karshi went, and he sat outside Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's house, outside his window, and he was chazering uksin out loud, very loudly, over and over and over again. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said to himself, why is Rabbi Yaakov ben Karshi sitting outside my house, learning uksin around the clock? It must be something's brewing in the Beis Medrash. So he started listening, and he learned uksin, and he learned it again, and he learned it really well. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel comes to the Beis Medrash, and Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Nassim say, Rosh Hashiva Shlita, can we ask you a few questions in Mesechta Zuxin? And of course, at this point, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is well prepared. And he gives unbelievable shiur in Mesechta Zuxin. Right? And he says to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Nassim, you're busted. I know what you're up to. And because of that, I'm throwing you out of the Beis Medrash. And that's exactly what happened. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Nassim were kicked out of the Beis Medrash. The Gemara says in Horios, Daf Yud Gimel, they're sitting outside the Beis Medrash. The Beis Medrash still needs them. So they're writing down shilas and they're throwing them into the Beis Medrash to challenge the young Talmid Chacham to try to answer the shilas. The Gemara says whenever they were able to answer a shilah, they'd write down an answer and throw it back out the window. If they couldn't get an answer, they'd throw a piece of paper that says, hi, we need help, and they'd throw in an answer. And that's how it went. They sat outside. Eventually, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, okay, you know what? We're going to let them back into the Beis Medrash. But we're not going to teach teachings in their name anymore. Their name's going to be blotted out of the Beis Medrash. From this day forward, whenever we quote the opinion of Rabbi Meir, we say, Acherim Omrim, others say. And when we quote Rabbi Nassim, we don't quote him by name anymore. We quote him as Yesh Omrim, some say. We don't say their names. Their names don't have a place in the Beis Medrash anymore. So Rabbi Meir became known as Acherim. So it says that Imre Noam, and many other Sefer Hasidus bring it as well, when Yaakov Avinu says, Vayetzar lo, I'm very afraid. Shema yahareg es acherim. I'm scared that I'm going to kill acherim. He's talking about Rabbi Meir. Yaakov Avinu is scared. I'm going to kill, God forbid, Esav. But if I kill Esav, I kill Rabbi Meir. And that would be an awesome tragedy for Klal Yisrael, to lose Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is a gevaldik tana, but why is that so critical? And why is that so relevant to the time period in which we find ourselves? How do we connect ourselves back to Chanukah? How is this a Chanukah sugya? So you go back to the Pesukim in Vayishlach and you start to pay attention a little bit. And you start to see some Chanukah language. You see a Yaakov Avinu saying to Esav, Ko somrun laduni le'esav, Ko amar avdecha Yaakov. Twice in one pasuk, Chafei, Chafei. And I'm sending this gift, why? Limtso chein be'inecha. These are very Chanukahdik words. Vayetzar lo, and he's worried, Yetzar Lo, it bothered him. Lo is the Lamed Vav Neiros, the 36 candles we light over the course of Chanukah. It's a lot of Chanukah language. You go through the parsha, you'll see a lot more of it. But what exactly was going on here? The Yaakov Avinu understood that Rabbi Meir is so important. We need to save Rabbi Meir. And again, why is this dafka connect us in some way back to that opening Magen Avram that we were trying to study? What is the main teaching of Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir taught us a lot of things throughout Shas. And most of the time, we don't paskin like Rabbi Meir. The Gemara in Erevin says Rabbi Meir's way of thinking was so lofty that most of the time, his own chavrusas didn't know what he was talking about. We don't paskin like Rabbi Meir most of the time. But there's one area of halacha where we paskin really strong like Rabbi Meir. The Gemara says in Maseches Kedushin and Daf Lamed Vav, HaMachlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. And 99% of the time when you have Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, or Meir, the Gemara in Eirvin, Daf Mem Vav, says we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. But listen to this Machlokas. Source number 12. Bonim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem. This halacha that we're about to learn is the backbone of the worldview of a Jew. This upholds a Jew in any situation. Chanukah is the last Yom Tov ever instituted. It's got to carry us all the way to Mashiach. So we need something really strong to carry us. Banim atem la'Hashem Elokeichem. The Torah says in Parshas Re'eh, Perek Yudalet Pasuk Aleph, we are the children of Hashem. Bizman sha'atem noagim minag banim atem kriyim banim. If you act like a prince, then Hashem says you can be my child. You act like a princess, you can be a child of God. Ein atem noagim minag banim. But if you don't act the way a Jew is supposed to act, ein atem kriyim banim. Hashem says then you're not my child. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. A conditional love. Rabbi Meir Omer, Bein Kachu, Bein Kach, Atem Kriyim Banim. Regardless of your behavior, a child is a child, and the love that a parent has for a child is an unconditional love. It can't be touched, it can't be damaged, it can't be ruined by anything in the world. And what's the halacha here? The Klalei HaPsak, the regular rules tell us, we follow Rabbi Yehuda. That means if we don't act like Jews, Hashem says you're not my child anymore. But says the Rashba, in two separate tshuvos, in the Shilos and tshuvos of the Rashba, you would think this is not the type of Gemara you paskin on. But the Rashba says we have to paskin this Gemara because it's too critical for understanding of our relationship with Hashem. Says the Rashba in Source 13, Va'af agav, derbi meiv Rabbi Yehuda halachak Rabbi Yehuda. Even though 99% of the time we have machlokas Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, we follow Rabbi Yehuda, hacha Rabbi Meir cry kadayik. Rabbi Meir here brings proofs, brings psukim, brings support for himself in the continuation of that Gemara, Kedush and Daf Lamed Vav, and therefore here, we paskin like Rabbi Meir, which means halacha lamaisa. You could be the worst Jew in the world. Not that you should be, but if you were, God forbid, Hashem would say you're still my child. Hashem would still hold of you. Hashem is still interested in you. One of my rabbis, Rav Moshe Weinberger, told the story one time. He said one of his children, one of his daughters, when she was little, she wouldn't wash negel vaster in the morning. And he like made a big to-do out of it. You know, you have to, a real Jew washes netilas yadayim in the morning. A real Jew gets up in the morning, washes netilas yadayim. So he said he was up one morning, and his daughter woke up, and she had to go to the bathroom very badly, so she jumped out of bed, and she was running to the bathroom. I guess maybe she had a netilas yadayim bowl next to her bed. She ran right past it, and she was running to the bathroom. And her Weinberger saw her run by, and he gave her a little wave. But she thought, you know, he was like policing the hallway to make sure that, you know, don't leave your room without washing the tefillah yadayim in the morning. Right? And she runs into the bathroom, and she's literally sitting on the toilet, and she looks up at her father, and she says, but I'm still a Jew. I'm still a Jew. I didn't wash the tefillah yadayim this morning, but I'm still a Jew. And he's like, I was just giving you a wave. I wasn't checking to see if you washed the tefillah yadayim. Right? And her Weinberger says he always thinks about that story. A Jew wakes up in the morning. There's a way a Jew wakes up in the morning. There's a tara, there's a kedusha. And if we don't wash our hands, we have yadayim yaday esav in the morning. Right? But his daughter understood as a little child that, yeah, you know what, even if I don't do that, I'm still Jewish. Even my father tells me real Jews wash netilas yadayim in the morning right away when they wake up. I'm still a Jew. And that's what Rabbi Meir teaches us. Bein kach u bein kach kriyim banim. Yeah, I should do a lot of things right, and I sometimes do a lot of things wrong. But at the end of the day, regardless of my behavior, kruyim banim, I'm still called the child of Hashem. This is the psak of Rabbi Meir. And Yaakov Avinu says, I'm scared to lose Rabbi Meir over this psak, perhaps. If we lose Rabbi Meir, then we're not even sure what our standing and our status is in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in our lowly moments, in our dark moments. In the moments where we feel weak and outnumbered, which is so much what the Hanukkah story is about. So now we come back to the Magen Avraham. We see that when we open up Hilchos Chanukah, the first thing that we encounter, the Hakdama to Chanukah, is the words of the Magen Avraham, that the Na'arim go around door to door collecting tzedakah on Chanukah. That's the introduction to Hilchos Chanukah. And we ask the question of Turnus Rufus HaRasha, who said, how can you give tzedakah? It's blasphemous to give tzedakah. Tzedakah, if Hashem wanted the person to have money, Hashem would give them money. And what did Rabbi Akiva answer? That's true if we see ourselves only as Avadim. But if we see ourselves as Banim Lamakom, then tzedakah absolutely has a place. So who's the one who's going to make sure that we know that we're Banim Lamakom? Who's the one who solidifies and clarifies in the utmost clarity that we're not Avadim to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, whose connection to its master can be wavering, but that we have a permanent and unwavering connection to Hashem? Who's the one who solidifies that psak? It's Rabbi Akiva's own student, Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is the one who teaches that we're always the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in other words, the world of tzedakah, which is rooted in an understanding that we're children of Hashem, and Rabbi Meir, who's the one who reminds us time and time again that no matter what, you're the child of Hashem, they're deeply, deeply connected to each other. They're completely interwoven. So therefore, as Yaakov Avinu goes out to fight Esav in this week's parsha, he's thinking about Rabbi Meir. Shema Yaharig es Acherim. God forbid if we lose Rabbi Meir, right, then we lose sight of our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, when we come to the first halach in Hilchos Chanukah, what do we see? Tzedakah. And we think about Rabbi Akiva's conversation with Turnus Rufus HaRasha. That tzedakah is only justified if what? If we're children of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, we understand what Chanukah is all about. Chanukah is all about a Jew understanding that regardless of our behavior, that even if most of the Jews have gone astray, and there's still a handful of Jews who want to fight for something, right? When the Jewish people were in a really, really low and dark period in their history, Choshech Zu Yavan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still believed in us, and Hashem was still interested in us. It's fascinating. There's a sefer called Emes LeYaakov, written by a Sfardi Chacham in source 14. And he says, where did the minhag come from that Jews give tzedakah to Rabbi Meir Baal HaNes? Rabbi Meir Baal HaNes is Rabbi Meir. Our Rabbi Meir, the Tana, the student of Rabbi Akiva, the Chavrusa, the friend of Rishon Bar Yochai. The Emes LeYaakov writes in source 14, Rabbi Yaakov Shaltiel Nino, he writes in source 14, Emor Me'ata, Zeu Atam Shenagu Kol Yisrael B'chol Tfutos Yisrael, Liosam Nodrim Nidarim V'Nidavos, the Hainu Tzedakos, L'Shem Atana Kadosh Rabbi Meir Baal HaNes. Why do we give tzedakah? You're missing your car keys. People say, oh, it's a segula. You give tzedakah to Rabbi Meir Baal HaNes. And you'll find you're missing things. What is this Indian of tzedakah for Rabbi Meir Baal HaNes? You see pushkas every place in the world. You see a pushka for Rabbi Meir Baal HaNes. What is that? V'kavu kupa b'chol ir v'ir medina medina. Every city, every community has a pushka for Rabbi Meir Baal HaNes. Support Rabbi Meir Baal HaNes. I get to send this in the mail every week for Rabbi Meir Baal HaNes. Give tzedakah l'zchus l'tana Rabbi Meir Baal HaNes. What does tzedakah have to do with Rabbi Meir? I knew time, but it's very simple to us at this point. Because the only permission to give tzedakah is based on the sheet of Rabbi Meir. That banim atem l'Hashem elokechem, that we are the children of Hashem. And regardless of our behavior, that remains true. And it's only because we're Hashem's children that it's not blasphemous to give tzedakah. Desvir alei da'afilu k'she'enim osim ritzono shel makom kruyim banim. Even when we don't act the way that we're supposed to, we're still called Hashem's children. And through that tzedakah exists. And therefore, again, we come to Chanukah, we open up Hilchos Chanukah. We open up Hilchos Chanukah, open up the Shulchan Aruch, which is speaking to us with Ruach HaKodesh. And the Magen Avraham says, before you start anything about Chanukah, you need to know about tzedakah. And if you know about tzedakah and you really understand what tzedakah is about, you understand Rabbi Meir's Psak. That banam atem l'Hashem elokechem. That the love and connection that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu transcends everything. When the whole base of Mikdash is destroyed, it looks like timu kol hashmanim shebehecha. Everything's been lost. When we're completely outnumbered, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his ways. Ma'atim can overpower the rabbim. Chalashim can overpower the giburim. Tumeyim can be overcome by tahorim. And we can find that little drop of oil, that little bit of belief that apal pichin, despite everything I've done, I'm still a Jew. I didn't wash the tilas yadayim in the morning. I have yadayim yaday Esav. But you know what? Even out of the hands of Esav could come a Rabbi Meir. Out of that world of Rabbi Meir, out of the world of Nero and Kesar could come Rabbi Meir, and other Tanaim came from him as well. In the final source, the Pnei Yeshua asked one more final Chanukah question. And that is the question, what do we need the miracle of Chanukah for? After all, we have a rule in Halacha. The Pnei Yeshua, early 1700s, Pnei Yeshua writes, V'lechora yesh l'tmua, kol Torah chaneis zelama. Why did Hashem have to make the miracle that the oil should last for 8 days? Let's say the oil would have gone out after one day. What were we to do? So you'll say, we'd be stuck, we can't light the menorah. That's not true, says the Pnei Yeshua. We have a rule. We have a rule that when everything is Tameh, you can still run the show even in a state of Tumah. That when the Tzibor is Tameh, then we allow certain things to happen even in a state of Tumah. And therefore, they could have used Tameh oil to light the menorah. No problem. Hashem doesn't do miracles for nothing, so why did Hashem make the Chanukah miracle? Says the Pnei Yeshua some very powerful and famous words. Lakach nira, the ikir haneis lo nasa el lahodia lahem chibas hamakom aleihem. Says the Pnei Yeshua, you're right. Al pi halacha, we didn't need a Chanukah miracle. Hashem didn't have to make an awesome miracle that the lights would stay lit for 8 days. But you know why Hashem did it? Because he wanted to show us, I love you. Hashem did it lahodia chibasan hamakom aleihem. To show us how much He loved us. Hashem didn't have to give us that tzedakah, but Hashem gave us tzedakah. Hashem said, I love you, and I'm going to make a miracle. And I'm proud of you for finding that one jug of oil and not giving up on yourselves. That's what Chanukah is all about. That's the first halach in Hilchos Chanukah, and that's what Yaakov Avinu is fighting for in this week's parsha. In his fight against Esav, more than anything, he's worried, God forbid we lose every mayor, we lose our entire perspective as Jews. Rabbi Meir, whose real name is Rabbi Nehorai, his whole name is fire. He's Mamash Hanukkah Dikasol. So I want to end with a beautiful little story. A beautiful, beautiful little story. Hanukkah 1939. Rav Dessler's Rebbetzin went with her daughter to go visit their uncle, Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski. Rav Chaim Ozer was Rashka Bahag. He was the leader of world Jewry at the time. And imagine this little girl comes. It's Kislev time. It's Hanukkah time. And she comes to the Gadol Ador. It's her great uncle. And she walks in, and Rav Chaim Ozer gives her a smile, and he gives her some Hanukkah gift. It's a little money in her hand. And she looks up at her revered uncle, the Gadol Ador, who's smiling down at her, Rav Chaim Ozer with his awesome sweetness. And she says, thank you, but I don't need the money. It's okay. Maybe you think I need the money. It's okay, we have money. I don't need the money. And Rav Chaim Ozer looked at her and he said, you don't give Hanukkah gelt because someone needs the money. You give someone Hanukkah gelt because the giver loves you. You give Hanukkah gelt because you want to express your love for that person. That's what all of Hanukkah is about. That tzedakah that we give on Hanukkah, the Magen Avraham says, when someone comes to your door on Hanukkah, you're not giving it because you have a mitzvah tzedakah. You're giving it to remind yourself that there's a love that transcends all of the logical explanations for things. The Hanukkah gelt that we give our children on Hanukkah is an expression of that. It's a reminder of that love that Hashem has for us. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu deciding to let the menorah burn for 8 days. Simply, says the Pnei Yoshua, lo'odia chibasam, that Hashem wants us to know how much He loves us. And we place that little light below 10 tefachim in a place where God doesn't usually go, on the left side of the door, on the side of din, and all of the negative reasons to be associated with that menorah. And we look at it and we say, afal pichin, despite my lowliness, despite the darkness, despite the left side, despite all the reasons to want to think that Hashem is not interested in me anymore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, afal pichin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves me, because banim atem hu Hashem olkech. So mirtz Hashem, we should come to the Yom Tov of Chanukah and feel that tzedakah that Hashem has given us. To feel that awesome connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what the whole Yom Tov of Chanukah is about, I think. As captured again by that opening halacha in Hilchos Chanukah. And mirtz Hashem, if we could feel that love, we could share that love with one another. The way Rav Chaim Ozer said so simply, we don't give Chanukah gilt because we have to. On Chanukah, there's a love that's being shared because we want to. Because we want to feel close to one another. That achdus of Klal Yisrael. That achdus between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Amir Tzashem will be zocha once again to see the Bayi Shlishi from Herab Yamino. Good Shabbos. It's tzedakah, right? Arpa Shet Tzedakah is tzedakah. That's right.